Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Well, Merry Christmas. You know, what is it that is so captivating, like so magnetic, even mystifying about this baby born in a manger 2,024 years ago? That for a brief window of time, every single year, like we find ourselves rethinking our lives and rethinking our priorities and rethinking our futures and rethinking our relationships. The truth of the matter is that in a few days, Christmas trees will come down, decorations and eggnog will go on sale, and diets will begin. A friend got an invitation to a party right after Christmas last year. It said the dress was post-Christmas relaxed. He thought, what is that? And then in parentheses, it said, whatever still fits. In a few days, we're going to turn the calendar to a new year. Business plans will heat up and thousands of us will be off on our quest to find meaning and significance through another deal, another dollar, another relationship, another purchase, another trip. So what is it about this baby in a manger that is practically bringing the whole world to a screeching halt today? Whatever else you may believe about him, you would have to admit that his birth is so important that it split history into two, BC and AD. Some say he was a symbol of hope. Some say he was the representation of God. Some say he was a great prophet. Some say he was a good moral teacher. But the writer of scripture makes this incredible claim in Matthew 1 about the identity of this baby. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I want to reflect on those three simple words for a few moments, God with us. The writers of scripture make these astonishing claims that this baby in a manger was the eternal, transcendent second person of the Trinity. That in one millisecond, the God who made the vast universe left the staggering magnificence of heaven and voluntarily reduced himself to a microscopic cell in the womb of a teenage girl. And there he lived in darkness for 9 months until on the day he was born, not in a VIP suite in a maternity ward at Stanford Hospital, but in a barn where his first smells were those of animal waste and his first sounds were those of animal grunts and groans. He who was extraordinary became ordinary. He was God with us. You know, the horrible temptation at Christmas is for us to reduce this baby to less than he really was, less than God. Because if you can reduce him to less than God, then you can remove him from the center of your life. Christmas then becomes just this nice seasonal folklore, and you can stay away from the manger. But if he is who he claimed to be, I mean, that has a quite staggering implication for us. And maybe some of you need to do like the shepherds did out on the hillside that night, stop and be still and consider, who is this baby born in a manger? We sing the Christmas carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. There's a line in it that says, word of the Father now in flesh appearing. You ever think about what that means? John, who was one of Jesus' closest friends and followers, said, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. If he was God, the eternal, transcendent, third person or second person of the Trinity, if those little fingers reaching into the night sky from the manger were the same hands that measured the skies when they were formed, if he was Emmanuel, God with us, that has enormous implications for our lives and for our eternities. The Apostle Paul, a man who became a follower of Jesus after living a life that was far from God, He was actually one of those who imprisoned and persecuted Christians. And then he became a follower of Jesus, and he begins to teach that Jesus was who he said he was. And he calls him this, the visible image of the invisible God. Paul is writing to the Colossians, and part of the reason he's writing this letter to the Colossians is to correct a heresy that was called syncretism. Syncretism means to sync up a bunch of stuff. It's kind of a layman's term for a kind of theology that was being spread. The Colossians thought Jesus is just one of many gods. So you can have Jesus, but you can also worship angels. You can have Jesus, but you can also have spiritual enlightenment. You can have Jesus, but you can also have fill in the blank. And a kind of bad stew was being created. Where I grew up in the Midwest, school lunch in my grade school was kind of like this. It was Monday, green beans, Tuesday, corn, Wednesday, broccoli, Thursday, carrots. And then you know what Friday was? Mixed vegetables. It's like all this stuff that was left over went into Friday's lunch. And this is what was happening in the Colossian church. Kind of like school lunch on Friday, just kind of put it all together. And Paul writes, no, I want you to know the truth. Jesus Christ is with us and he is enough. Jesus Christ is God with us, the visible image of the invisible God. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to tell us that Jesus Christ is supreme, that he is sovereign, that he is over all, above all, in all, through all, that for all, Jesus Christ is enough. He casts this immense vision of how immeasurable Christ is. And I just want to walk us through a few verses of Colossians 1 this Christmas. First of all, Paul says in verse 15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Now, this is a remarkable statement to make about someone who walked in a human body on this earth. Paul says, when you look at Jesus, you see God. Now, the word Paul uses for image is the Greek word icon. It's actually where we get our word icon from. Among other things, the Greeks used this word for a portrait of someone. They obviously didn't have photography in those days, so if you wanted someone to know what your grandkids looked like, you would have a portrait painted. That was what they would call that an icon. Well, Paul uses that word for Jesus. He says he is like a portrait of God. A little kid is drawing a picture one day, and a mom says, what are you drawing? The little kid says, I'm drawing a picture of God. And she says, well, no one knows what God looks like. And the kid says, well, they will when I am finished. Now, how do we know what God looks like? That's been the great question since the beginning of the human race. What is God's character? What are God's attributes? What is God's heart? And the problem, of course, is no one really knew what God was like. And Jesus says, well, they will when I'm finished. Jesus said in John 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for I and the Father are one. Paul is adamant about this. He says in verse 19, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. How much of the fullness of God? All his fullness. Paul is saying that when you see Jesus, you see God. We come to the same idea in Colossians 2. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. How much of the fullness of God? All of the fullness of God. Again, you see that emphasis here because the Colossians didn't think of God being able to inhabit matter, to inhabit a human body. Paul says all of God is right here in a human body. This means you cannot have absolute confidence in God's loving heart. This means you don't have to be afraid of God. I mean, think about this. If you ever wonder what God thinks about something, all you have to do is look at Jesus. If you ever wonder, what does God think about little children? I mean, just look at Jesus. He says, let the little children come to me. If you ever wonder, what does God really think of people who are lost and can't find their way? I mean, just listen to Jesus say, for I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. If you ever wonder, how does God really feel about suffering and loss? Just look at Jesus weeping by the tomb of his friend Lazarus. You don't have to wonder if he'll keep forgiving you when you sin. Just look at the story that Jesus told about the prodigal son. You can run into his arms anytime. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far you've strayed from the Father. You don't have to avoid him when you feel inadequate. You don't have to be afraid of God or intimidated by him. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the God that no one has ever seen before. You look at Jesus and you see God. You want to be an expert on God? You want to be a friend of him and fall in love with him? Then immerse yourself in the life and the teachings of Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And then Paul goes on, and this has to do with creation. Paul says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation, for through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He existed before anything. He is supreme over all creation. He created everything. No wonder the wind and the waves obeyed him, because they knew him. I mean, when Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves and said, be calm, they recognized his voice. It's the same voice that created them in the beginning. Isn't it remarkable to think that God could just speak things into existence? Jesus was the one who said, let there be light. And then all of a sudden, boom, there was light. Wouldn't you love to be able to do that? You look at your car and say, let there be Ferrari. Boom. Jesus can do that. He's the creator of everything. Look at Isaiah 40. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up at the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. God brings out the stars, numbers them, and calls them all by name. How many stars are in the universe? God makes billions and billions of stars, and he's on a first name basis with each one of them. He knows them all. God is over all creation. And that means I don't have to be afraid of anything in the created order. I don't have to be afraid of disease or sickness or anything that might affect my body. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat or drink or what my finances are or anything else. Jesus talked about this. He said, my advice to you is don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear. God cares for the birds. God cares for the flowers. He'll take care of you. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Well, Jesus is the image of God. He allows us to know everything that we need to know about God. He is the agent of creation. We don't have to worry about anything in the created order. He is also Lord over every power. Look what Paul says in verse 16. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Paul says he made things that we can see and he's made things that we can't see. The Colossians were very into speculating about spiritual beings, as people are often in our day. They were into angels and the worship of angels, and they were kind of obsessed with the spirit world. And I think people in our day make two errors when it comes to the spirit world. They either make way too much of it, or they don't consider it enough. Have you ever been around people who attribute everything to the spirit world? If things go well, it's because an angel took care of them. If things don't go well, it's because a demon defeated them. If you get a flat tire as you're about to leave for a meeting, it must be because a demon is at work to prevent you from going. You know, I think, what if it was because you actually ran over a nail? Like, maybe it was demonic, I don't know, but maybe you just need to clean out your garage. The truth of scripture is the spirit world is very real. There really are angels and there really are demons. They really are spiritual authorities and spiritual powers. And Paul here is simply saying every human power, every government, every corporation, every boss, every CEO, and every supernatural force, whatever they may be, every angelic being, every fallen angel, every one of them is just child's play in the hands of Jesus. Jesus created them all. Thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, Jesus is big enough to easily overpower any force that might hinder me from following him. They're all under his control. They may not know it yet, but Jesus is the Lord over every government and over every organization and over every authority and over every addiction and over every supernatural being. I don't have to live in fear of any of it. Jesus is also the sustainer of all things. Check out verse 17. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Now, Paul here uses the perfect tense, which indicates continuous action in Greek. In Jesus, all things are continuously being held together. In other words, he didn't just create us and leave us on our own. He is sustaining us right now. He is the one right now that is causing the sun to keep shining. He's the one right now that causes gravity to allow us all to be in our place. Have you ever heard someone say, "I don't think I could hold it all together"? Well, you don't have to. That's not your job. Jesus is doing that. The writer of Hebrews says, "The sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command." Just a word from Jesus, and everything is being held together. If that did not happen for a moment, like, we would all just evaporate like magic. Every moment you and I live is the result of the sustaining grace of Jesus, God with us. He also conquered death. Look at verse 18. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. You know, our sure and certain hope is that we too will rise from the dead one day, and we will be with Jesus throughout all of eternity. Death is not the end. Frank Peretti tells a great story about a family that's on vacation, and a bumblebee flies into the car, and the little girl is in the back seat. She's afraid because she's severely allergic to bumblebees. And so she starts to scream, and the father didn't know what to do because, I mean, they're miles away from the nearest hospital, and if the bumblebee stings her, they don't have any allergic reaction. She'll have an allergic reaction. They didn't have any medication to take care of her. And so he just watched the bumblebee fly around the car. And when it got toward the front seat with one hand on the wheel, he reached out and grabbed the bumblebee, just let it fly around in his hand until it eventually stung him. And then he let it go. And the little girl started screaming again. "He's buzzing, he's buzzing." And he showed her the stinger in his hand, and he said, "Don't worry, honey. He can't hurt you now. All he can do is buzz." And when I heard that story, I thought, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? All death can do now is buzz. That's all it can do. Jesus Christ has taken away the sting of death because he is the authority over death. He's the firstborn from among the dead. God with us. He's the image of God. He is the agent of creation. He is the Lord of all, the sustainer of life, the conqueror of death. Let me ask you this. Do you live with the understanding of this God who is with us? You know, Moses was up against Pharaoh, who is the highest throne. He was the highest power, the highest authority, the highest ruler in the world at that time. And God said, "I'll deliver you, Moses. Take your people through the Red Sea. You'll have to put a foot in the water first. When you do that, I'll divide it. I'll march you through it. I'll save you. You're safe in my hands the whole time because I am holding everything together. You're safe in my hand, but you're gonna have to take a step of faith." Now, this is just a general principle. The way we access the power of this great God is by faith. It's by taking a step of faith. You must act like you believe you have God with you, and then you discover that God is really with you. And so the question is, will you say today, "I'm gonna stop living like God is distant. I'm gonna live like Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God and that he is with me wherever I go"? Some of you find yourself this Christmas going through some pretty challenging and difficult circumstances. Some of you are in stressful circumstances, maybe physically, maybe relationally, maybe emotionally, maybe financially, maybe spiritually. And I'm convinced that God brought you here this Christmas so you can hear him say to you, "I am with you. I am with you who live alone and are gonna walk to your cars today, and you're gonna watch families fill up their SUVs, and you're gonna go home alone, and maybe that hurts. I am with you who are carrying illness in your body and you wonder if you're gonna make it to Christmas 2025. I'm with you who dreamed this would be the year when you would have a baby around the Christmas tree, but the miscarriage or the infertility has left you with a hole in your soul that you don't think anyone understands. I am with you who are headed into some challenging family dynamic during the gathering at home tonight or tomorrow. And you who are dealing with ex-spouses and custody situations that are very complicated. I am with you who are going to have an empty chair at your table this Christmas because there's a family member who moved away, or there's been a divorce, or you buried a loved one. And that pain is just unbearable. God says, I am with you. This Christmas, I want you to know that I'm with you. You know, that little preposition with is used 89 times in the Old Testament to refer to God being with his people. God walked with Adam in the garden. When God called Moses to be the leader and Moses said he couldn't do it, God said to him, I am with you. Psalm 23:4, words that have that I've turned to many times in difficult situations in my life, when God says to us, we don't need to fear because God is with us. God is with you. God came at Christmas, not just to be with you here and now. He gave his son so that he could be with you forever. If you ever want to know how badly God wants to be with you forever, just look at the baby in the manger. Just look at Jesus on the cross. Just look at the empty tomb. When Jesus died on the cross, he who had no sin gathered up all of our greed and all of our lust and all of our selfishness and all of our pride and all of our ego and all of our deception. And he said, I will carry it for you. Why? So that I can be with you forever. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, the visible image of the invisible God. And that brings us to this question: how are we going to respond to this gift? It's really a gift of God with us. You know, the greatest gift that you can receive this Christmas is not a new pair of Adidas. It's not an iPhone. It's not a new game station, not a new car. Not even the Marvel Spider-Man super web slinger. The greatest gift is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. I know some of you are not ready to receive that gift yet, but you can make a commitment that this Christmas, you're going to spend some time in 2025 examining who this baby in the manger was. I would say a great place to start would be to read the book of John in the Bible. Have you ever gotten a gift? A big gift, it's an important gift that's all wrapped up. And when you unwrap it, there's another gift inside that to unwrap. And then when you unwrap that one, there's another gift inside of that to unwrap. And another one until you finally get to, you know, the real gift that's deep inside the gift. Well, some of you, spiritually speaking, have to go on this journey where you open the box and then you open another one and then you open another one. And for many people around Blue Oaks, the first box is just to attend worship services on Sunday morning. And then you start to discover. And then a week goes by, and then another week goes by, and you open another box and another box, and until you actually find the real gift. And if you're in that examination phase, I just want you to know that Blue Oaks is a place where you can bring your doubts, you can bring your questions, they're welcome here. Maybe you need to examine who Christ is in the new year. Or maybe you've done that, and this Christmas, you're ready to receive this gift, Emmanuel, God with us, that we feel so close to around Christmas time, and we could have all year long. We just need to say to God, I want Jesus to be the leader of my life. I want him to be the forgiver of all of my moral junk, and I want him to be my closest friend. Some of you have done that, but you've kind of spiritually drifted away from God, the God who is with us. You look the same on the outside, but on the inside, in your heart, you're just a long way off. Christmas is the time when you can come back and decide you're going to receive that gift once again. Who is this baby in a manger that the whole world is stopping to worship? He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. And I hope you think about how you're going to respond to that gift. Will you commit to examine him in the new year? Will you receive him? If you're ready, will you receive him all over again? Will you worship this God who is with us? Will you embrace heaven's love that has come down to save the world? Would you just bow your heads for a moment? Those of you who have been walking with Christ for a lot of years, I just want you to say, I want to say to you, I know you know how important these moments are. And I just pray that, or I hope that you would pray for the people around you. Pray earnestly that God would just move in their hearts and minds, and many would make a decision, a significant spiritual decision right now. All right, now, God, I pray that there are people in this room who can say, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you are Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, I believe you are the visible image of the invisible God. I believe you created everything by a word from your mouth, just a word, and it came into being, and you sustained everything without any strain or effort at all. I believe a word from you, and the storm ceased, and the winds died, and the fish were multiplied, and the lame leaped for joy, and the blind opened their eyes and saw, and the demons and death has no power. I pray there are people in this room who can say, I believe that when you went to the cross, the entire universe held its breath, and time stopped, and history was suspended, and you brought about the reconciliation of the entire created order through the shedding of your blood. I believe you went to the tomb and the grave could not hold you. And after 3 days, you conquered death. I believe you have numbered every hair that I've ever grown and every tear that I've ever shed and every breath I've ever inhaled and every word I've ever spoken and every hope I've ever cherished. I believe you're with me right now. And you will be with me later when I'm in the car on the ride home. And you'll be with me later tonight at home. And you'll be with me tomorrow morning. God, I pray there are people in this room right now who will say, I'm sorry for keeping you at a distance. I'm sorry. I'm done with that. I pray that there are people who are willing to say this very moment, Christmas 2024, I believe. I admit my need for forgiveness, my need for you to be the leader of my life, for me to be on a new path for my life. Now, God, if people have claimed these statements, would you just move powerfully in their spirits, even now as I'm praying? Cause many of us to decide and to declare and to just grab hold of this new life, the God with me life that has been made available as a gift on request to anyone who would ask. And we pray this prayer in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said, Amen. Now, I want to say, if you've prayed that prayer, would you just tell someone as you're leaving today, tell them boldly, say, you know, I'm not sure of everything that's involved here, but God was moving in my life and I did that. This is going to be a new beginning for me. 2025 is going to be a new year because I'm going to live my life as if God is with me. Probably the people that you came with would love to help you take your next step spiritually. We would love to help you take your next step spiritually as a church. So we'll do whatever we can to help you. So just let us know.
Services for directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church. or download the app today. And we hope to see you on Sunday soon.